Hello, everyone. I hope you're well.
Good morning, everybody. It is morning, isn't it? Good morning.
We'll give it a few minutes to let it build up slightly, and then we're going to get started with a bit of a chat around consistent lead generation on the gym floor. How to do it, what to do, how to be consistent, all of that tackle. Let's give it a few minutes and see how we go. Okay, we will also be chatting at the end on a little bit on the next three people that we're going to bring in, industry experts, to speak to you for completely for free on different topics. That'll be with us at the end of the month, starting October as well. So stay tuned for that. Stay tuned for that. And do I think I am a radio presenter? Stay tuned for that. What an idiot. We'll reveal all at the very end. Some good speakers want to chat to you about some good stuff.
So let's start.
Oh, go on then. On your terms, is it?
Let's look back maybe and talk a little bit about, let's start off in maybe some of the common barriers that people have about approaching people. And it's easy to kind of assume and throw out there that you need to lead generate, you need to go and talk to people, but what does actually, in your head, what's your opinion on what that will give PTs and what their expectations should be?
Okay. So firstly, what that should look like is that normally what it should look like is that we're going out there to build initially relationships with people. And I know everyone knows this, but I think sometimes we need reminding of it. And the reason why we need reminding of it is because a lot of the time our expectations are that we go on the gym floor, we put pressure on ourselves in our minds that we're there to book in a consult, a taster, or sell personal training straight away when clearly we're not. So the expectations of that and what it should look like is that we should initially be going out on the gym floor. It doesn't matter if you've been a PT for a week or 10 years. If you have the need to lead generate in a gym that has thousands of members, which most of you do, then it all starts with building an element of relationship with people and helping people. What that looks like, how you do it, where you do it, what you do, we will get into soon. But I think this is like the biggest barrier for you guys is that, and for potentially everyone listening and watching back, is that you will pile this pressure on yourselves that basically where you have an internal battle which prevents you from doing it. So you'll procrastinate to stop you from doing it. And that internal battle is because your expectations are, it's like the fear of rejection, isn't it? It's like the whole fear of rejection and the fear that people are going to turn you down and all of that. So you paint this big picture, this negative picture, and then just don't do it. I feel like I've gone off on a tangent already, but I'll let you kind of tap into some of that.
So I think it's well known now that, you know, building relationships is an advantage when it comes to generating leads and generating business. But I think giving some context behind what having a foundation of a relationship with someone is going to enable you to do, the advantages of it. So from a lead generation perspective and a sales perspective, it's not going into loads of detail about this, but what would you say they are? What does that, so if I'm going out there and I'm building a relationship with someone, getting to know someone, what is that going to enable you to do as a PT who is either looking to grow their business, starting their business, wanting more clients, wanting different clients? What's that going to give you?
It's going to give you a number of things, right? First of all, it's going to give you a level of competence in having and confidence in having frequent conversations with people. That's the first thing. Like, you're going to feel more comfortable. It's like anything. The more you do it, the more comfortable you be at it, the more confident you are at it. So that repetition, you'll feel more comfortable at it. But it gives you the opportunity, and this is the biggest one, to be, we call it, like, appropriately curious about people. So you can start to find out, on a personal level, what their barriers are, what their challenges are, what their frustrations are, how they think and how they feel in regards to their goal. It gives you an opportunity to understand them on a personal level, because you can have that understanding of, from a target market perspective, of generally this is what my market suffer with and this is what they struggle with. But then being on the gym floor and having an open conversation with someone and asking them open questions gives you the opportunity to unpack that, which means, because you've took time out to look as though you care about that person, you've remembered their name, if you have, and if you can't, you look as though you care. So you asking them open questions gives them the opportunity to open up about all of the stuff that they're doing, tried in the past, what they want to do, all of that, which then gives you a whole host of opportunity in a sense of what to position further down the line when you've built trust a little bit more, how to help them next, what to support them with, how you can see their level of education and how they can start to solve their own problems. It opens up so many avenues, but the biggest thing that it gives you is trust.
Mm.
And this is where, like, I struggled with all of this at the start of being a PT. And the way I started to get over it was seeing the similarities between what I needed as a coach, right? And what I need as a marketer, as a coach, to enable a strong coach-client relationship, you need buy-in. To enable that buy-in, you need trust. And to enable that trust, you need frequency of interacting with someone, supporting them, adding value, them buying into you, empathy, compassion, all of that type of stuff. That's what you need as a coach with a client. But you actually need a lot of that within your marketing. So you taking time out of, it's the wrong way to put it, but you being on the gym floor, looking as if you care about people, asking open-ended, meaningful kind of questions opens up so many doors for you, not just your own confidence and self-belief, but a massive a volume of trust from that person on the gym floor.
Mm. And going back to that, just leaning in on trust a little bit before we get to kind of how to do things and whatnot. So we're going out there, we're building relationships. We're building relationships so that we can get to know people, gather information. We can start to develop that level of rapport and trust up. Now, first of all, let's look at the sales process and what that will give you. So when you're sitting in front of someone, now largely transactions in personal training is all verbal, isn't it? It's all, you know, you give me this money and I'll give you that kind of thing. It's articulated in a verbal way. It's not a physical product we can hand over to someone or someone can take home with them, so to speak. So first of all, it's going to enable you to have that trust in the consultation phase or the sales phase. And without that trust, are people going to effectively believe you, right? And you need that element of belief and trust in someone to go, to part with £200, £300, £400, £500 per month for the next 6 months, 9 months, 12 months. So in the sales process, it's incredibly important. But then also, and I'm thinking more so, it actually coaching someone, like nearly every client you will have an element of resistance, an element of resistance to change, whether that's changing the way they eat, the way they view their food, the way they move, taking time out of their week to exercise, to move more, to check in, to do all these things that you're saying, right, this is going to get you to where you want to be. And unless you have that element of trust, people aren't going to be open and honest with you, because it's that fear of being judged. It's the fear of failure in that, whatever that is, food, diary, whatever, right? So trust, relationships build trust, build rapport. Off the back of that, when you're doing that, when you're almost humanizing yourself to people, we need to kind of, what that kind of, trying to find my words here, what that like kind of links into is someone having psychological safety in that trainer-client relationship. And psychological safety is me feeling safe enough to say, you know, I did go out and I did drink and it wasn't a part of the plan, or I missed this thing and this was the reason. And as a coach, you can, when you know that true reason why, you can start to work with that. When people are telling you what they think you want to hear because they don't want to disappoint and they don't want to feel like they're being judged, that you're stuck between a rock and a hard place, aren't you? You don't know which way to go because you haven't got that information. So it enables the coaching process as well. But that, as you mentioned, it starts with on the gym floor. Now, having a level of trust, to what degree is questionable, but knowing someone to a certain amount before they become a client is obviously going to give you huge amounts of benefits coming into your business and coaching them. So just wanting to kind of paint that kind of flow and that journey of, like, you hear build relationships, talk to people, build trust up, but why is it important? What's it going to give you as a coach and as a business? But then also, what is it going to give the client as well? And I think that's a really important thing to kind of map out.
Yeah. See, I've just wrote a note down here just to remind myself later on. But it's like a continuum, isn't it? Right. So the way my mind's working right now, it's like if you've got this continuum of, let's say at one end, you've got like approaching someone on the gym floor for the first time, which is essentially, it's not marketing. It is in a way, but whatever. Approaching someone on the gym floor with help for the first time, all the way down to being 6 months deep into a coaching service, right? And you look at the fundamental qualities that needs to happen within that coaching service and work back. Well, let's look at the problems that you have as a personal trainer that you have with most clients. Is you'll have a breakdown of accountability. You'll have a breakdown in adherence. Some of your clients will lie. They can't stay consistent. Maybe they're not on the right type of program for them, i.e. they need higher frequency, so they're not getting great results. So all of them are key common problems, check-ins, all of that. All of them are key common problems that you have within that coaching side of the continuum. Now, when you look at that, then problems, they're normally broken down in most cases from either a lack of buy-in, a lack of trust, or a lack of understanding, right? So if we scale this right back, this continuum now, and go, right, well, where do I start that trust, that buy-in, that understanding? Well, it starts in that very first conversation that you have. Like, where my head's at in this continuum, it sounds strange, but you know what I mean? And it starts there. And I think the way, and bringing us back to the start, the way PTs think about, soon as you hear the words lead generate, add value on the gym floor, market yourself, be consistent on social media, it's like this buildup of internalized stress, overwhelm, panic. I've got to ask for prices. I've got to ask for sales. I've got to ask for, and most personal trainers are uncomfortable with it. Like, I had a conversation with PT the other day going, it was like, I'm so glad we stuck to like the business coach and the repetition of lead generating every week, because I genuinely, for the first 3 or 4 weeks, I doubted it because none of the other PTs who were successful in the gym, deemed to be successful, were doing it. So I thought, well, there's no point in me doing it. You can get successful without doing it, and no one else does it in the gym. Well, actually, yeah. Consistency of doing it, then give him the opportunity to bring the right type of clients in for him and all of that type of stuff. That's a different story. So bringing this back, that first meaningful conversation is about then building that value, trust, understanding. And if we view it as that, like, what I'm doing is I'm going out on the gym floor to look as though I care about people, because you all are in it for the right reasons. You want to help people. You want to help people solve their own problems, instill new behaviors and habits that they can go off and have that for the rest of their lives and change their lives and all of that. And that is what we have to keep within our minds, instead of thinking about, right, I need to go out and sell, I need to go out and book consults, I need to go out and book taster sessions. It's, I'm going out on the gym floor now to help people. And whilst I'm helping people, I'm being appropriately curious about what they're going through, what they're trying, what they've done in the past, where they're wanting to achieve, what they're wanting to achieve, why they're wanting to achieve it. I've got a general view of what they struggle with anyway, but understanding that on a personal level is really going to help me get to know them, like, trust them, and then vice versa. And then as I progress them through that continuum as they come into my business, that's going to help me, like you've just said, within the sales process, because I can now position the right service that's relevant for person instead of just throwing at them everything that we normally throw at them, like the kitchen sink to get them to buy. And it's also going to help me further down in this continuum, because now I'm positioning the right service, it's relevant. So I'm going to come up against less accountability and adherence problems further down the line. Worse, like the worst case scenario, if these issues come up, at least I know them well enough and they trust me as much as they can to not lie as much. And they can be open and they can be honest because we've built that trust. So yeah, I know I've waffled on a little bit there, but it throughout the whole process, if you switch that mindset at the very, very start to, I'm going out there to be appropriately curious to eventually, hopefully help these people and bring them into the business. That's all I'm doing at the start. I'm not going out to do anything else.
So if you're going to break that down, that continuum, let's put it into some steps, make it easier to digest. So you're a new PT or you're an existing PT who hasn't practiced this, so isn't confident in doing this. What's the very first thing, practical thing you would do?
The first practical thing that I would do is make sure that what I'm doing is intentful, not just turning around, turning up to the gym and going, right, I'm going to approach people and I'm going to practice interacting with people and being appropriately curious and all of that. So I would be intentful with what I'm doing. Because if you're loose with it, like, oh, I'm going to spend the next 4 hours in the gym today, approaching people on the gym floor, you'll find it. There's no intent behind it. So there's no real drive for you to execute it. So I would sit down and go, right, what are the hours that I would ideally like to fill within my schedule with personal training? And then I would plan my practice of interaction and me confidence building with interacting with people within them hours. And there'd be a number of reasons why I would do it that way. Because you get to see the same people at the same times that you want to work, so it helps you further down the line from a time management perspective. And then B, like I said a minute ago, it gives you that level of intent. So within that hour or within that 2 hours, I know what I'm doing and I know how I'm doing it. My rules or my non-negotiables around that is I'm going to go out there and just practice interacting with people. I have got no more expectations on it than just I am practicing my social skills, because it's a skill that needs to be practiced. So that's where I would start personally.
Cool. And so get an understanding of what you want back from it, from the lead gen, what your aim is. The times you want to do. And when you say practice, what kind of things would you actually physically do then? So I'm out on the gym floor, I know those times. How would you go about that?
I'd have something set within my mind that's really open of what I'm going to say to people. So it might be, and we use this line a lot because I think it was something that you used to use all the time on the gym floor. And I think it's really good to just... The member can't be wrong. There's no pressure from you or anything like that. So I'd have some framework in mind of going, like, obviously, you could keep it simple. Just be like, hi, how are you? How's your day going? And just having a general chat around things. But if you want it to be a little bit more intentful behind it, it might be, I'm going to go out to that area. I'm going to stay around this area for the time being, because I know this is where my demographic's going to be. And I'll touch on that soon. But hi, my name's Anthony. I'm the person, kind of the personal trainer man in this area, supporting people in this area for the next hour or so. If you need any help with anything, whether it's exercise help, technique correction help, a question about nutrition or anything like that, you want me to pack some weights back for you, please just give me a shout, because that's what I'm here for. My name's Anthony, by the way. What's your name? Nick. Nice to meet you, mate. And I'd have an element of framework, and that's all I would have. And then hopefully I can learn to be confident enough within that conversation to be present, for it to then be for me to be actively listening and for it to just flow naturally, whether it's just to speak about, I don't know, the weather or whatever else it is that you want to speak about, that it can just flow naturally. But having a framework would help me personally But there's some people that will listen to this and go, why can't we just go out there and say hello and get into an organic conversation? And you could absolutely do that as well.
Mm. Yeah. And then how would you open up the conversation? Let's say you've done that for, let's say, the next, you've done that for a week, spoke to loads of people, introduced yourself to loads of people, done that to death. How would you then start that process of understanding and building that level of, well, building that relationship and then building that trust up?
I think this is on the PT. So this is on us as personal trainers to remember. So if I, let's go with that scenario because we can build the blocks on it now. I've had that, Nick, you've not come over to help for any type of help, all right? And that's happened 4 or 5 times. The next time I notice you in the gym, Nick, how are you, mate? How was your session yesterday? You mentioned that you're doing a bit of a pulling session. All right, how did it go? Awesome, mate. What is it that you're doing today? Happy days, what type of stuff are you doing? And then I would pull out, hopefully, some elements of information about that. How's that going for you? How many times a day did you come? How long have you been training? What is it that you're training for? What types of exercises are you doing within this session? How do you find them? And then, obviously, I'm just rabbiting off loads of questions here, but clearly you're going to stop at one question. Nick's going to probably elaborate on the answer. I don't know. He might mention a niggle, an injury. He might mention that he's done the same program for quite a while. He might mention he dips in motivation and consistency because he goes out with the lads at the weekend and it stops him from coming in on a Monday and Tuesday. Or these conversations will go off left, right, and center. But it's just, for me, it's building blocks. But you have, this is where the intent comes in. So my intent then in that conversation is to take information in from Nick of potentially what he's doing, why he's doing it. And then in my head, I'm thinking, right, okay, at some point in my next conversation or even now, how can I support him without really suggesting anything?
So what information would you, if you're going to group that together a little bit, and we're seeking to understand, aren't we, when we're out there, so we can then suggest relevant, let's call it value add. Then so you're building the rapport up. Now, rapport is built without, not by you giving lots and lots of information to people and talking at people, but it's gained through, like, anyone who you've kind of gained a lot of rapport with quickly usually is just genuinely authentically interested in what you've got to say.
Yeah.
Listens to what you have to say, and then is continually curious on how, about you, whether that's in a different scenario or whatnot. But this is obviously specific to us understanding them. So I think that's a really key thing. To build the relationship, you need to seek to understand and listen to the answers. But that comes about by you positioning the right questions. So the ones you mentioned before about what they're doing right now, how is it working, what they've done in the past, what are they looking to achieve. So if you broke that down into past, present, future, you've then got a little bit more of a framework to then go off. Okay, so we've got maybe some context and narrative behind, like, what's this relationship? What's the point of the building relationship and trust? We've got steps you would take on applying that with the intent behind it, with recognizing the times that you want to go in, using that little blurb of introducing yourself to people and not really asking for much on the first occasion, and then seeking to understand. And when you seek to understand, and I know this word gets battered around a lot, that's where you gain the opportunity to add value to people. And it's that information versus application, isn't it? Like, we could pick anybody's program apart. Anyone could walk in the gym, watch me training, and pick my program apart and say, no, you might want to try this, why don't you try that? I'm not going to listen because it's not relevant to me, because no one understands what my aim is or what I'm doing now and how successful it is. But if someone does and they go, okay, so what have you gained from that? And I'm like, well, I'm kind of plateauing. Then they can start to pick around, okay, have you thought about doing this maybe to, you know, increase the load or change the variables or whatnot? It becomes more relevant to me then. Mm. And it's exactly the same as people on the gym floor. And it's understanding that person so you can then add value to their current situation, whether that be through showing, talking, sending an email, social media, videos, demonstrations, whatever it is, right? It's all relevant to the situation and the person at the right time. Okay, so we've got those, let's call it pillars and steps. So we've been doing the introductions on the gym floor. We've been seeking to understand what is the next stage off the back of that, would you say?
I think it's gaining a level of interest where we can see, clearly see that this person who we're building, or these people who we're building conversations with, are starting to become interested in what we're talking about. So taking that piece of what you've just said at the end, in regards to them realizing potentially they're plateauing, or being curious now on what advice I would give for his pressing session, pulling session, leg session, whatever it is that we're having a conversation with. So I think from my side that I would, if you'd got to that point and they've gone, yeah, but I'm hitting a bit of a plateau, I'm kind of struggling with that. And just to park that a minute and jump back out, because something came up in my mind as you were speaking. A lot of personal trainers, when they think about lead generation or approaching people on the gym floor, will think about it from in their shoes, their own shoes. So I used to think, well, they're not going to want help because of X, Y, Z. They've got earphones in, they've got a program, they do this, they come here consistently. And you'll put every barrier up under the sun because you think about it from our side of things. And I think sometimes if you jump back, and especially if you as a PT have had a coach before and you've had programs given to you, like, look what it's like for you when you've had programs given to you and then you've jumped out of that and it's not there anymore. That's not there for you. That routine's not there for you. Think about it from a member's point of view. That's 10 times, 50 times, 100 times worse because they don't know what to do. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I think you need reminding of that sometimes. So in that case, this person, let's say they've plateaued or you've plateaued and you've identified that. All right, talk to me a little bit more about that. What do you think from a plateau perspective? I've just been doing the same thing for quite a while. I think this is why I'm lacking a bit of consistency and motivation to do it. Same stuff, really. I used to train with a mate, and we used to do the same stuff. He's dropped off and so on. Okay, so what would you want that to look like then? And I would ask another question. Just a bit of variability and stuff like that. I know what will normally happen is they'll prompt you to give advice of, like, what would you suggest for a bit of a pulling session, or how would you go about this? And then you could maybe give advice, and then maybe I just ask them permission. Would you like me then to send you something that hopefully triggers a little bit more motivation? You can see the difference in kind of what you're doing now and what I've just structured and what I've told you, instead of doing, maybe you mentioned that you don't want to be in the gym 6 days doing a press pull leg split times twice a week. You mentioned that you want to spend a bit more time with your kids at the weekend and it brings about hassle with the missus. So maybe condensing that down into 4 or 5 whole body, full body sessions. And they're like, what would that look like? Hey, I can send it to you. Give me your email. So this is where you start to generate leads. So you've got their name anyway. Now you've got their email. And then the next step for that would be to send, probably I would, on that conversation, I'd be like, right, Nick, I'll send you that and that's no problem at all, mate. But what I don't want to do is just get a program and then come with it and have no support or accountability to do it. So why not I send it to you? And then this point next week, is this the time you normally in? Yeah, cool. We'll sit down after a week of it and see how that's gone. Bit of a review of it. Sweet, brilliant. I'll send you that tonight. Took your email, send that over. In the email, I would definitely have all of my socials, so it'd divert him to follow me on my socials, where I'll probably be speaking his language if I understand the demographic I'm talking to and all of that. So that'll give me additional contact points away from the gym that will really start to spike that level of value, hopefully. And then he's got the new program, which he really likes. Hopefully he values it. He's seen success, either in his words that he's aching from it in his first week. Maybe he sent me an email, and maybe I've got his number and he's swapping kind of messages about the program. And then we've got this review of the program, which is where I feel is that element of desire, where they've then turned up and expressed the desire to go, yeah, let's analyze this. This is what I felt like and all of that. So that's where I would take it probably.
Sound.
Anything you do differently?
No, not really. I think anyone who kind of listening or watching this back, I think a big key thing of like the follow-up and what you do is finding something that you're passionate about, like you find enjoyable. Like I used to find like assessing and whatnot really enjoyable, really interesting. So my lead gen techniques and kind of follow-ups was all to do with like health checks and BCAs and posture analysis and movement assessments. I really enjoyed that. So it didn't feel like I was selling. I was just really interested in kind of giving people the right information. And that just organically sparked off interest and desire from people, because as soon as you assess someone, the questions are, is that good? Is that bad? Where should I be? What could I do? And it's just so bloody easy to get to lead them down the path then, and just get maybe a little bit quicker and organically to that interest and desire stage versus that kind of cold approach of offering taster sessions all the time, which I've done as well. But no, I think just having something where you can, and again, it comes back from that building rapport and understanding that you'll find gaps where you can not exploit, but where you can help and you can plug and you can generate essentially relevant information and value to someone. So to know, and it's so like, this is the key thing that I always kind of go back and forth of, and it's easy position for me to be in, because in a commercial facility, I never had social media to kind of lean on. But if I did now, knowing what I do and the experience I've got of just having that, the only thing you've got is walking up and speaking to someone or a poster or a leaflet, I would still massively choose, from building a face-to-face business in a commercial facility, I would still completely use that captive audience to build my social media. It's like the same as you would do if you wanted to generate an online business. You would start and leverage your clients you've got already in your business to move on a bit more organically. It's easier and quicker. But no, that was just a kind of side thought, really.
Yeah, and do you know what? I was talking about this with someone else the other day, is that our industry's quite strange when it comes to marketing, because we're not experienced at it. You go into any other industry, right? If I was to open a shop, doesn't matter what that shop sells, right now. If I was to open a shop in a let's say a city center or a local area, you would do some demographical data. So you'd look into like what the demographics like in the area, and then potentially do some segmentation and stuff like that, depending on what your product and service is. So you would look at the whole market, right? And you would assess it, you would understand it, you would probably go and do some elements of market research and gain some data on it and so on. And then from there, you would then obviously launch your shop, launch your business or whatever it is that you're doing. And then you would get the message out locally and then hope that that message from a local perspective will grow into a social message, i.e., I've come into this, come into this community in this area with this shop, with this product, with this service. I've really targeted within the pre-sale and the marketing of it and all of that, this like a specific demographic within this, around this area, and with this certain message. And I've done it by different avenues. Maybe it's market research on the streets, maybe it's flyers, maybe it's door-to-door, maybe it's events around the area for local other businesses, cross-promotion, all of that, local community groups, social media. And then I would get the message out from a local perspective for it then to grow within the local area, like from a social demographic perspective, so on social media. Now, what most personal trainers do within our industry is we do that completely reverse. We land in a gym, right? And because it's uncomfortable for most personal trainers to proactively lead generate, we then think to ourselves, well, the path of least resistance is social media, because I can sit behind Canva and I can sit behind whatever else that I want to do to post on social. I'm not going to get any resistance, really. Yeah. Right. So what I'll do is I'm going to start with my medium first. So I'm going to start with my avenue, my platform, which is Instagram, for example. And then I'm going to spend time in trying to get that message across from a social perspective. So I'm going, whereas any normal business will go the market, the message, and then the medium of where they're going to market to, we go the complete opposite way. We go, as an industry, we go the medium first, so normally Instagram. Then we'll try and sporadically post this message about left, right, and center and hope people gravitate towards that message. And if you stay in the business and the industry long enough, we then start to realize how important it is to have a defined, relevant message for a market to be able to bring them in. So we actually do it in the opposite direction, which then, the point I'm getting at, is that then we miss the standard opportunity of growing in the business demographic, so growing an awareness within the building, then growing an awareness within the local area, and then that spreading into social media demographic is in community groups and locations and all of that and everything that you've just said. So we literally did it backwards as an industry.
It's because of there's no rejection, is there?
And that's what it is.
There's no rejection.
And for any PT kind of sat there thinking, and I brought this point up before, like, and I've heard it so many times, like, there's no point, I don't feel like I should be doing lead generation in my gym or interaction with members, or because none of the other PTs do it. Like, I would have said that in my first 3 years. I would have said that. I also would have said, people don't want to speak to me because they've got their earphones in. I also would have thought people don't want to be sold to them. But my mindset was completely warped with it. Like, I was taking the easy way out for the first 3 or 4 years because it was uncomfortable to me. And as soon as you accept what it is that you're uncomfortable with, and then try and flip it and address it with the ways that we've gone through today, it makes it so much easier. And actually, you start to think to yourself, well, actually, yeah, the other PTs in the building aren't doing this. Well, buzzing, then that's a great opportunity for me to do it, because I'm going to be the only personal trainer in this gym right now that looks as though he cares about members. And especially within a pure gym where 50%, I've just been on a call here about, they're getting 50 to 60 new members a day at the minute. It's mental. So 50 to 60 new members. Now, we've got data that 50% of personal, of pure gyms members are new members to a gym, right? That's right, isn't it?
Yeah, 40, 50, yeah.
You think about your family members joining a gym for the first time and not getting any type of help from them, feeling lost, feeling insecure, feeling like they're being judged, feeling like it's just another attempt and it's not, they've got no belief, it's, or anything like that. And nobody going up to them in that gym and helping them at all.
It was funny because when we were talking on Friday, we did a talk on this lead marketing and lead gen, right? And there was a fella in the crowd.
Yeah.
And, you know, he asked, I can't remember, he asked, you know, why do you think X, Y, and why do you think people don't approach you? Because I went into a gym as a bit of an experiment, a commercial facility, and I took in 300 quid and I was going to, to the first personal trainer that spoke to me, and no one spoke to me.
He said Pure Gym. He went to 3 Pure Gyms in Edinburgh.
Who was it? Pure Gym.
Yeah.
It's mad.
Yeah. It doesn't surprise me though. Like, it doesn't.
No?
Like, it doesn't surprise me in the slightest. And it's part of me that it's like, I'm gutted and I'm slightly embarrassed for PTs that they don't go out the way to help people. And then there'll be lots of PTs listening to this, like, I brought this up on my foundation yesterday, and one of the guys the guy said, yeah, but all the PTs were probably with clients. And I get that. That might be the case, but there's also PTs in every single building that need to generate leads and bring sales into the business, which need to look as though that initially, going back through the whole process, where you need to look as though you care about people on the gym floor. So if you're not planning an intentful interaction and engagement, you're not going to get that. And if you're going to wait for people to come to you because it's the path of least resistance and you haven't got the confidence to do it, and none of your PTs are doing it, you're always going to have clients who dictate how much you earn, dictate your time, struggle with accountability and adherence further down the line, because there's a disconnect in that level of value, trust, and understanding that we talked about at the start. And that's the issue. And the quicker you as personal trainers connect that issue of the knock-on effect of not having proactive lead generation and being proactive and approaching people on the gym floor, and the connection of lack of adherence, accountability, and a lack of results in your business that cripples your self-belief and confidence as well. As soon as you connect that, the better it'll be for you, because Yeah, because without it, you'll just blame everything else. Like I did in the first 3 years. I used to blame Fitness First. They were like, I used to pay the sales girls for leads, all right? You know what I mean? Remember that? So I used to pay them or used to get them
dinner. Or Fiverr for every new, because the Kickstart induction things, didn't we?
Yeah, and that...
Another gym.
Like, that helped me from a short-term gratification perspective. I was getting leads, and then it was up to me to convert them. The difference was I was getting these leads that were coming from Fitness First sales girls and all of that and receptionist teams. And then I was booking in consultations and coming up against barriers because they didn't have a decent perceived level of value. And for the ones that I wasn't coming up against barriers with, they were bartering on price. And then I was lowering my price and then I was giving them a discount and an offer. And then the ones that wasn't bartering on price and getting discounts and offers were on the lowest frequency because they didn't see the value in 2 or 3 sessions a week, even though they needed that. So I created all of my initial lack of accountability, adherence problems and results problems because I didn't have a marketing process, because I didn't have the confidence to approach people on the gym floor and take marketing into my own hands and practice it as a skill. And because I didn't practice it as a skill for the first 3 years or so, years 4 to 7 was uncomfortable, but I had to, because I started to see that the lifespan of a client coming to my business was short, plainly because they didn't have the value. I was banging heads against them all the time, in a sense of they wasn't getting and all of that. And it all come back to my marketing process. And it's a strange one to accept and marry them up together and go, well, actually, this is happening because I don't take this into my own hands. And everyone who comes into my business is basically coming to me, and I'm not taking ownership and responsibility of going to them and going out to the market. Yeah, but as soon as you connect them dots, like, it's a life changer for you. Well, it's a business changer for you, isn't it?
Got a question.
Okay.
Mr. Hughes, any advice or top tips on how to best structure spending time on your business, benefits to this, and how to schedule this and get the best return on investment on this time spent? Feel PTs can experience paralysis by analysis with the large volume of assets works. Yeah, when first start in the role. Yeah, really, 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 really simple solution to this. It comes like, because you've got so many hats, being self-employed and running your own business from marketing to admin to all that kind of stuff, right? It is very difficult to understand what to do, when to do it. The key thing here, where you first start off with, is identifying very clear, like I mentioned about, same with marketing, very clear objective about what you want from your business and when you want that by and what does that look like. The more clarity and detail you can get behind how much money you earn, when you want to work, what clients you want to work with, how do you want to deliver your programming, how you're going to check in, how you're going to give feedback, all that kind of stuff, then you can see what you're aiming for. And so then we're reverse engineering that back. Then you go, right, here's my marketing. Here's my sales. Here's my admin. Here's my service delivery. So you've got those 4 pillars in your business. And you go, right, let me write down everything that happens or I need to do from a marketing sense, from gym floor lead gen to following up, sending emails to social media content, to scheduling that in, to following up on inquiries, all those tasks. Do the same with sales. You know, where would you have the consultations, et cetera, et cetera. Same with admin. When am I going to do like programming, feedback, emails to clients, content for my client group, blah, blah, blah. And then the service delivery. You get all those tasks written down and you go, right, what's my goal? Is it to grow my business? So now my priorities of those tasks should be made up of a large percentage of marketing and sales. So I then start to take those different tasks and spread them across my week, for example. If it's to retain clients, then it might be on the delivery and the admin, the communication, and you might make that a bit of a priority this time. So it's about having clarity. It's about knowing and breaking down those tasks. So you're literally micromanaging, you know, a social media post. You know, what are the different elements of that? Planning, getting the content ideas, creating the content, scheduling it in, and then potentially or hope and hopefully maybe replying to any engagement off the back of that post. So there's five things just with social media. Plan that in. So it's all about clarity on the goal, understanding what tasks you've got, understanding what parameters you've got in your week, and being really strategic and micromanaging the time you have. And anything I have missed?
No, nothing at all.
Does that help Mr. Hughes, if he's still here?
No, I just think it's dead important for us to probably summarize what we've talked about and just kind of recap over it. Because obviously this we've talked about loads in regards to this. So how would you summarize this then?
Yes, that makes sense. On the subject of admin, I may have missed something, but is there more context on tax returns? How to complete a tax return? What to claim for as a self-employed PT? If you also have content around this would be super helpful. Yeah, it's a bigger piece than this, but the last session of the foundation, we go through this. Listen, like tax and so first, the responsibility you have as a person, self-employed PT, is to first of all know what your those responsibilities are. So going onto the HMRC website, first of all, registering yourself after you've earned the first £1,000, that's when you need to do it. In your self-employed business, you need to register yourself as self-employed and for self-assessment. The next thing off the back of that is to keep, okay, let's give this in a few quick steps because I know we're short on time. Get a separate bank account, a business account. All the revenue goes into that account and all of your business expenses come out of that account each month. So now you've got a trail of income and expenses that you can then use when it comes to your self-assessment and your tax returns. It looks great, Anthony. Didn't say that about me.
I need an haircut, don't I? He caught me then, didn't he? Like, checking it out in the screen.
What you can claim back for your business or any reasonable business expenses. I'm not going to go through them all, but any business expense, such as the rent for your gym, the license fee, the public liability insurance, if you do any courses, you buy any equipment. There's grey areas around things like food. There's a certain percentage if you use your own personal phone for work. That you can claim back. So any reasonable business expense, you need to keep records of those expenses, i.e. receipts. And then a very simple solution to all of that, Harry, is hire an accountant. Simple.
Should we summarise everything we've just been through?
So summary of everything is understand what you're aiming for in regards to your marketing and your lead generation, from building the relationship first, which will give you the ability to build rapport with people, which will then give you an ability to gather the right information on how you can add relevant context and help, i.e. help people. Make sure that you are following up with the people you make contact to. Schedule that in so that you can stay accountable and you stay intentful with that lead generation. One big thing that I wanted to mention was if you know that this is what you need to do, but there's certain elements of there's limiting beliefs that are stopping you do it, come on to the mentoring sessions we have on Mondays at 12:30. Come on to the foundation. There's nothing we're going to say that will convince you that this is what you need to do. You need to have an open mind to start to enable yourself to convince yourself it's something that you need to do. So that's a really key thing. What information to look for, why, how to create the interest. And then we went through the follow-up as well. Gosh, appreciate it. if it's possible, but if there's a way of documenting or something with notes on what you've mentioned, accounting software recommendations, it would help a lot of PTs getting started. Mate, all on the foundation. All on the foundation. If you want me to write that out, you have to give me some time. It's all on the foundation, pal. Anything else?
No, that's it. Happy with that. Hope it's helpful for a lot of you. A bit of announcement of what's to come. So we've got 3 guest live speakers towards the end of September into October. First one is Tanya Filer. She's going to talk. Tanya runs a mentorship, social media marketing. She does some coaching. She works as part of a business with a copywriter as well to help PTs from a copywriting perspective. So she's going to help you guys with basically making social media work for you. So giving you tips on how it can help you and not overwhelm you, and structure and strategy and all of that. The one after that is a guy called Joe McNee, who runs a company called FitLogic. He basically runs a company that helps personal trainers automate their whole onboarding system. Not so it's not personable, but takes all of the time away from you, completely automated, systemized, including checking processes and all of that, how to do it, what software to use, all of that. So that'll be really good for a lot of you. And then the third one is a guy called Warren Inspire, who we've seen was on the same lineup as us on Friday, who basically helps people with overcoming fears of kind of public speaking. So like, he does that from a stage perspective, but he also helps a lot of personal trainers overcome fears and give them tips and strategies when it comes to speaking to people on the gym floor, speaking in front of groups, speaking on camera, and just gaining more confidence in being able to interact and so on. And I think that'll be a really good session for a lot of PTs, jumping off the back of what we talked about today as well. So yeah, 3 unreal speakers, and we've got something else to announce as well soon, but we'll do that next week. So looking forward to that. Apart from that, mate, all good. Happy days.
Gosh.
See you in a bit, guys.
Bye-bye.